Hey everybody, welcome back to That Girl with me, Danielle Decker. As always, so glad that you're with me here today. You're spending some time with me, and I'm so excited for what we have today. Today, we are going to be diving in with Lean In Part 2, long awaited. I love it when people are looking forward to the second half. I loved that. I'm glad that Part 1, it was one of my most listened to podcast episodes, which was pretty awesome because I feel like what we're talking about is so important. So if you haven't listened to Lean In Part 1, that's okay. This is all still going to make sense. However, I would encourage you to go back and listen to Part 1 and let all of that flow the way that it should, the way that God wanted it to for us. I hope that you all are having a great week. I know families are getting back in the swing of having their kids at school and summer's winding down. Although, in my neck of the woods, I think it's 1 million degrees outside. I'm pretty sure. So, summer is still here. However, it's the summer activities that are winding down, right? So, but what's crazy, cause I'm just going to dive right in here, guys. I hope you can buckle up and be ready, because here's the thing. I've got a lot to talk about today, and I've got a lot of scriptures, and sometimes I try to cut things short, and I'll skip, or I won't read all my scriptures or whatever for time's sake. However, I'm not going to do that today. I'm just going to go until God says we're done, and here's the reality. You can pause this and go back and listen to it, the rest of it, or if you're like me, you know, I've listened to podcasts that are much longer than 30 minutes. So buckle up, settle in. We're going to be going for a ride today, and I just pray that it encourages you. Lord, just speak through me today. I think this is going to be one of the most important episodes that I've ever recorded, and I'm really excited. So if I seem a little all over the place, it's probably because I am. I have so much written down and so many scriptures, but it's good because it's God and this is important. And I wouldn't even talk about this stuff or mention this stuff if I didn't care and if I didn't feel like it was what we're supposed to do as Christians. And right before I started, we'll get to the message. Hold on one second. Right before I started, it's just like, I'm so thankful that God has allowed me to have, even though it may be a small platform, I'm so thankful that he has allowed me to do this. And so again, I'm just believing that this is going to be a blessing to you. And as I was saying, you know, people are getting back into the swing of things, and with school, and I'll be honest, there's a lot of people that might call me a conspiracy theorist. Now, I really don't, that doesn't bother me. I don't care what people say, but let's be honest, at this point in our lives, over the last 3 years, we know that these quote conspiracies are pretty much all true. And as a Christian, a lot of times, if we're following after truth, we can see things coming from a mile away because we know the spirit behind it. When you know the spirit behind the things that you see, the evil that you see, you know who that is. And you know there's no length of evil that he won't go to, especially to try to fulfill whatever agenda he has, and especially when he knows that his time is running short. So we can see it coming from a mile away. Now, I'm sure most of you have heard, and if you haven't, you're hearing it now, that they're bringing back a lot of the mask, you know, mandates and things like that. Now, I knew that was coming because I knew they would wait until kids got into school. That way, parents would be in the groove. They'd be ready. You know, here we go with our school year, all the things, and bam, we're gonna enforce all these crazy restrictions again, and it'll be too late because these parents feel like their back is against a wall. And I never want any of you to feel that way. That is not of God. God does not back us ever into a corner. That is not who he is. So if there are people or situations that are backing you into a corner and it's caused out of fear, anxiety, stress, you have to know that is not from God, and that is not something that you need to comply with ever. And I'm going to encourage all of you. Now listen, everyone has to make a decision for themselves, and we know that. However, I don't want anyone to make a decision because they feel like they have no other choice. You have more choices available to you than you think you do. And I will encourage any of you that if there's anything ever that I can do, if you're feeling stressed, if the mask mandates or anything like that, especially comes down the pike to your kids, and you're feeling like, this is where I draw the line. I'm not doing this again. I'm not putting my kids through that again. Call me. I promise you, I will help you in any way that I can. So be that as it may, it's crazy, because when we started with the Lean In Part 1, it's because there's so much deception happening. And the reason I'm bringing up the mask thing is we'll get into that more, but there's so much deception happening. And right now we have to lean into the Holy Spirit more than we ever have. Now, he's always in us. He's always been with us, but it's us recognizing, seeing him, leaning on him, hearing from him all the more in a time where there's so much deception that we feel like we can't decipher what's real and what's not. Now, some things it's just blatantly out there. Like, man, you can't believe that stuff. Like, surely, you know, because you have a quickening in your spirit. If you hear something and you're like, I don't know about that, that is the Holy Spirit. That's him. And he's quickening you because that's his job. And real quick, because I want to read this real quick, because this is a reminder. In John 14, yes, in John 14, 26, Jesus is telling, he's talking about how he's going to, you know, he's going to go to the cross and then he's going to go be with the Father. But he says in John 14, 26, he says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Then he says in 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Meaning the world can't give you peace. And if they try to sell you peace, it's not his peace. He's leaving it. He's giving it. How is he leaving it with you? Through the Holy Spirit. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We cannot be afraid of what's going to happen, right? What is this going to look like? What's going on in our world? Okay, we have a peace and we have the truth because we have the Holy Spirit. Let me read this also. We have John 14, 16 through 17. These are just quick reminders. Jesus is saying to them, and I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. There it is again. Do any of you feel like sometimes you need help? Help me understand. Help me raise my kids. Help me in this job. Help me have peace, okay? He is the helper. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. And that abide, it's literally meaning you're entangled with. You're like, it's like you're becoming one. He will be with you forever. In verse 17, the Spirit of truth. So what is the Holy Spirit? He is the Spirit of truth. That means the truth is living inside of you, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And then that's when he goes on and says, and the Holy Spirit will come and he will teach you things and he'll bring you those things to your remembrance. And I'm leaving you this peace. Not the world can't give you peace. The world's lost its mind and we know that. But we're going to have to lean on the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. So as we're talking about all of these things, we're going to decipher it. We're going to get our wisdom. We're going to glean. We're going to look through it through the lens of the truth of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Then one more here about the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. How amazing is that? Not only is he the Spirit of truth that leads us in truth, that helps us in truth, that imparts us with truth, he will tell us things to come. Just like I was just saying about all this stuff that's starting to come out now. I saw that coming. Why? Because I have the Holy Spirit. I have the truth. I know what that Spirit is. So when I see the spirit of evil, I can see it. I know it. And I know that evil does evil. There's no length that evil won't go to work out its agenda. Okay? So it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to find out, what does God have to say about these things? I'm going to tell you right now, and I don't mind saying this because this is my podcast. This is my platform. We never did wear a mask, and we won't do that now. If that comes down the pike, I promise you that I will stand for truth. Okay? That's just a side note. But you can also stand for what you know is good and true and right as a Christian first and foremost, but also as an American, okay? There's so much that they're trying to do right now because we know that there's an election coming up and things are going to take place, I believe, because evil wants evil. Evil wants to take over. And we know that. Now, we also know that Jesus is coming. So that's why he tells us to know these things, to see these things, but that we can look up and rejoice. When you see all of these things, you can look up and rejoice because you know your redemption draws near. 2 Timothy 1:7, remember, this is a reminder as we go through all of these things. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Listen, the greatest medium of control is fear. If you are afraid, you are much more easily controlled. That's just human nature. But see, our spirit is not fearful. If I trust God and I believe his word, then I'm going to believe what I just read in 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given me a spirit of fear. I don't have that spirit. I don't have a fearful spirit. I have a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. That means my mind isn't racing and anxious and all over the place. No, that's not the spirit that I have. Now I can choose to be fearful, But in all actuality, if I choose to allow myself to be fearful, I'm actually going against the spirit that God has imparted to me. Because that's not from God. God does not give us fear. Because God is not out here to control us, ever. If he was here to control us, he would have forced us to receive Jesus. But that's not who he is. See, he loves us so much that he has given us free will. See, loving people and wanting to help people is allowing them to choose. When you force, that's not of love. That's not of caring for one another. Because force comes from fear. Everything that we see happening in our world right now, okay? We see all this AI talk, which suddenly it's like, oh, see, they get real big on one thing, and then that kind of dies off. And then we get real big about UFOs and all, you know, we all this stuff that's coming out about, that the government's been hiding all this UFO stuff and all of that, and it gets people all riled up, okay? Then it's been the UFOs. Now suddenly, Maui is completely burned down, complete devastation. I can't even begin to imagine how deep that devastation runs. My heart absolutely breaks for those people. But see, they're so quick to switch the narrative because Maui was on fire. But if you look, Canada's still on fire. There's fires in Montana. There are fires in everywhere. Now, there's also a bunch of flooding and volcanoes erupting and earthquakes. That's all happening in the Middle East. But see, we don't hear about that here in America because they don't want you to know about anything else that's happening. So it's our job to know those things, not out of fear, but so that way when we see these things, because God told us ahead of time that these things are going to come to pass. Now, did we think that some of this devastation was going to be because of our government? I mean, I didn't. I do now, and I have for a long time. But it's uncomfortable. We don't want to believe that our government would do the things that they did to the citizens of Maui. Okay? This is all stuff. If you think, Danielle, you're being a conspiracy theorist right now, listen, everything that I'm talking about today, you can go look up. You can look it up. You can find out for yourself, and you should. But remember, we cannot take things at face value. When they tell you this is all because of climate change and global warming and all of these things, do not take that at face value, because that is a deception. That's what they want you to believe. And there's so many other things other than just that. But how huge is that right now? But see, the number one thing, the disciples are talking with Jesus and Jesus is telling them about the end. And the disciples are talking with him, and it says, now as he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed that no one deceives you. So they're asking, Lord, what is it going to look like when you're getting ready to come? What is the end of the age going to look like? And before he really even answers that question, the very first thing Jesus says is, take heed that no one deceives you. Why would he say that if he didn't know that the deception would run so deep. Deception means that it's very hard to differentiate between what's real and what's not. Let me finish reading these scriptures here. And it says, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And all these things are the beginnings of sorrows." See, these things are happening. But take heed that no one deceives you. We are in a time where we are not going to be able to trust our senses anymore, because our flesh cannot differentiate between what's real and what isn't. This is why this is leaning in. We have to be able to lean in to the Holy Spirit now more than ever, because we can't even trust the things that we see with our very own eyes. If we've learned anything in the last 3 years, it's that we cannot trust the things that our government tells us, that our media tells us, that Big Pharma tells us. Listen, these are all bought and paid for people, because we know in the end times, and I could give even more scriptures. We know in the end times, there's going to be a one world government, a one world money system, a one world religion. That's what the Bible says. And those things are happening right now. We have the World Economic Forum. Okay, we have the World Health Organization. And unfortunately, a lot of countries, including America, which may not go through, I don't know, but they want to give the World Health Organization the power to be able to say whether we shut down because of a pandemic, whether what the rules are, what's going to happen with our health, what's going to happen with our hospitals and what we do and our small businesses, okay? Giving that control to people that don't even live in America, that are not elected officials by the people and for the people. No, this is some other organization that they're just wanting to hand over the power to them and say, yeah, sure, all of America is in your hands to decide whether we stay open or not, whether people can have their things or not. Okay, this stuff is happening. You guys have heard of the digital banking. How many times have you gone somewhere and they're trying to tell you they don't take cash anymore? These things are happening. The one world banking, the one world religion, which very well could be global warming, climate change, whatever, I don't know, but that is literally nearly becoming a religion with these people. And what's happening, you can look this up. Take Maui, for example. Okay, the place is burned down. Now the government wants to come in and buy the land at pennies on the dollar, because then they can come in and zone that land, because what they are wanting to do is have these 15-minute cities. Now that is happening. Agenda 2030, look it up. Okay? This is how far you can go, what you can do, what you can't do, and that starts with these 15-minute cities. Now, and you can look this up. They wanted Maui to be one of the very first of these 15-minute cities, and people were not willing to sell their property. The people that live there did not want to sell their property. Well, guess what? Now they don't even have a home. And suddenly, these poor people haven't even been able to mourn the loss of not only their home, but their families, their friends, their community, their lives. And the governor, who just so happened to be out of town, and the mayor, who just so happened to be out of town when these fires came, that's a coincidence, if I ever heard one, they're coming in, and already these people are coming in and trying to buy the land. And the governor already said, this is why we want it. We want to start over. We want to have a new Maui with a you know, all this new things, that it'll be good for the people. Okay? That's called deception. Nothing about any of that is good. And I know it's uncomfortable. You don't want to think that these agencies, these people that we have been taught care about us and want the best for us, when they have literally lost their minds and given that power over to the spirit of the Antichrist, that is Satan. When that has happened, it becomes very uncomfortable. And what we want to do is turn a blind eye and say, I can't, I'm not going down that road. I don't even want to know anything about that, because that is just too much for me to handle. But we cannot say that any longer. We can't say, I didn't know. We can't say that, because God has told us these things ahead of time. He has told us these things ahead of time. John 16, verse 33. I want to read this real quick. God told us these things because, well, here, let me read it to you. He says, these things, Jesus is saying this, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. He's saying, I told you these things. How can we be afraid if God has already told us, prophesied to us, shown us in his word that these things are going to happen? But don't be afraid. I'm telling you these things so that way when they do happen, you can have peace. We can have peace in the midst of the chaos. So we can learn about these things. We can see these things happening, because God told us ahead of time. But we cannot turn a blind eye, because it's wrong, number one. It's evil, number two. And number three, we are called to not be deceived by what our senses can see. We have to trust the spirit of the living God that lives on the inside of us. And there was a reason that Jesus sent us the helper. The helper that is the spirit of truth that leads and guides us. Like I said last time, we don't have to sit around and think and wonder, Lord, is this from you? Is any of this from you? We learn in James, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask and you'll receive it in abundance. Listen, I wish... I'm so passionate about all of this, because there is so much fear. There is so much confusion. There's so much deception at every turn. And I know this is sounding super heavy, okay? So just hang with me for a minute. But God has given us his word. And I know I say this all the time, but you guys, it's because I cannot say it enough. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. It's number one, it's incredible. It's a love story from your Heavenly Father to you. It's a gift. It's as if someone gave everything, literally gave their life, gave everything to give you this gift. And you're like, I'm not going to open that. No, thank you. Like, I mean, thank you for what you did for me. Like, I'll receive it. I'll hold it in my hands, but I'm not going to open it. Wow. Why would we do that? And you wouldn't. You wouldn't do that. But that's what we do with our Bible. We hold it. We know that it's good to have it, but we don't open it. We don't read it. And here's the thing. You are deceived when you don't read your Bible. You are. I promise you that. Because you're not learning and growing in truth. And guess what truth is? It's the Word of God. It's Jesus. It's the Spirit living on the inside of you. But how could you possibly know about it, grow in it, be confident in it, if you never open it and read it? And I'm not saying that in condemnation. I'm saying it to you because I spent many years not reading my Bible. I know what that's like. But suddenly, when you read your Bible every day, and listen, if you don't get it one day, it's okay. This is not a chore. But the more you read it, the more you want to read it because it is exciting. It's invigorating. It's joyful. It brings you peace. You see it. You smile. You look up and you say, wow, God, you already knew and you're telling me, and I get to know these things ahead of time that I will find my peace, that I can overcome all of this with joy. And when I do, and other people see that, then they want what I have, and I get to share your message with somebody else. But we have to lean in to the Holy Spirit. And the more we lean into Him, and the more we read our Bible, the easier it is to hear His voice. John 10, let's get there. John 10, 2-5. But he who enters, again, this is Jesus talking. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. We know our Father's voice. We are the sheep, and he is our shepherd. The more we hear his voice, and the more we lean in, and the more we read our word, is how we get to know him more, and how he talks to us, and how he leads us, and how he shepherds us. And the minute we hear the voice of a stranger, we don't even look up because it's like, that's not the voice of my Father. I know his voice. And the voice of that stranger, I'm not following him. I'm not deceived by that. I'm not fearful of that. Because that shepherd, the one that I know his voice, he takes care of me. He provides for me. He protects me. He gives me wisdom and shows me what to do in all things. Guys, we're in a wild ride, and it's okay because we're not even from when we receive Jesus. We're out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of his love in the light. We are not bound to this earth. This earth is not our home. Our residency went from the earth to heaven. And now our home is with Jesus forever. Why would he not give us everything? The deception is not over. It's going to ramp up, honestly. But remember, we don't have a spirit of fear. Sound mind, not a stressed, anxious, frazzled out mind. No, sound mind. We have what it takes to be the voice, to be the hands and feet of Jesus to a lost and dying world, to speak the truth when it is so stinking uncomfortable to speak the truth, when you feel like you're saying things and people are looking at you cross-eyed like, are you crazy? And you say, no, I'm not. But I'm telling you these things because I know truth. I know truth. See, Satan, he is the deceiver. He's the author of confusion. He's the thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So when we see dying in masses, destruction, that is of Satan. Don't be deceived. Take heed that no one deceives you. Don't let yourself deceive you. Don't turn a blind eye. I'm asking you, rise up. You're God's kid. You have a courage and a bravery and a strength about you that other people need. I encourage you, putting on the full armor. Go back and listen to that podcast about putting on the armor of God. Doing that with your kids. You need that full armor right now. We're in a battle. Listen, we've always been in a battle. Good against evil since the beginning of time, since Adam sinned. But now, evil is showing his face. And he's not hiding anymore. But God has chosen you. We are a chosen generation, set high on a hill, that we would be a light, like a beacon, leading people to Jesus. And not everyone is going to listen. And not everyone is going to believe what you have to say. But that doesn't mean we don't speak truth. And it's our job to know the truth so well that we are not deceived. The AI, the quote natural disasters, the climate change, the masks, the lockdowns, the forced vaccinations. Do not be deceived by these things. They are here, and if they've done it once and got away with it, they'll do it again, and it'll probably be more. But we're not of this world. We don't have a spirit of fear. We have been given the spirit of truth. You have everything available to you to live this life in victory, to live this life in peace and joy. It doesn't mean that everything that happens is going to be peaceful and joyful. It means that we have those things in the midst of the chaos. How can we lead others to Jesus or be helpful at all? Number one, if we're not paying attention, seeing what's going on, saying, okay, Lord, you told me about that. I see that. But also, if we are living in the fear and the chaos and the confusion, I sure can't pull anybody out of it and help them and show them Jesus if I'm right there with you. I can't. And you're going to be tempted to go there. You're going to be tempted to be afraid. You're going to be tempted to be deceived because it feels better. Because the deception sometimes is easier. Right? The doctrines of demons, that people would fall away from what they once knew. They would fall away from the truth. They would believe the doctrine of demons because they're not strong in the faith. 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, now the Spirit, here we are, the Holy Spirit, okay? Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, that's where we are. We're in the latter of the latter. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Giving heed to deceiving spirits. What did Jesus tell us? Take heed that no one deceives you. But in the latter times, people are going to depart from the faith, depart from what they once knew. That's Christians. That's not people out living in the world. That's Christians. Departing from the faith because they're giving heed to that deception and the doctrine of demons. And they start speaking lies and hypocrisies because they're going in the wrong direction. But they sear their conscience with a hot iron, meaning I just close that off and I don't have to think about it anymore. They've departed speaking hypocrisies and lies and the doctrines of demons and searing their consciousness so they don't have to think about those things anymore. That is happening. And he told us it would. He told us it would. I've got more, but we're going to end here. We're going to go to John 17. Make sure when you listen the second time through, grab a piece of paper. Write down all of these scriptures. Let God reveal and unfold things to you as you read them. John 17, and we're going to start in verse 11. This is so good. This is Jesus, okay? He's talking, he's praying to the Father for his disciples. But this is a prayer that he would be praying over us, to our Heavenly Father, his Heavenly Father. Because right now in this passage, he knows that his time has come. He's getting ready to go to the cross, and he knows he's going to be leaving the disciples. So he's praying to the Father for them. Now let's listen to this prayer. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, meaning the disciples, his people. But these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, the Antichrist, but that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. He wasn't even praying that God would take his people out of the world. No, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Wow. Wow. Incredible. This sanctification means to be set apart. We are not of the world, just as Jesus is not of the world. That we would be set apart by the truth of our Heavenly Father, because his word is truth. Jesus sent us and is sending us into the world. And he was made set apart, that we would be made set apart, that through the truth with which he has given to us, we would then be able to give it to others that they might believe. Jesus has you here. You were created for this time. And as cliche as it sounds, you are here for such a time as this. Now is our time. This is what generation after generation of Christians have been waiting for. And we are the blessed generation that I believe will see the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But that takes standing strong, standing firm, building a foundation that is unshakable, not being deceived, but leaning in to the Holy Spirit, which was gifted to you when you received Jesus, the Spirit of truth. And remember, the Bible tells us that Jesus came in spirit and truth. Jesus is truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other truth. When you stay hooked up to the vine, which is Jesus, and you stay with him, and you grow with him, and you get in his word, and you learn it and know it, that fear flees. Because he's shown you things to come. And when it comes, you're not afraid. Remember, he said, I told you these things that you would have peace. Not the peace of the world, but the peace that I give. Shalom peace. All-encompassing peace. your health, your prosperity, your healing. He is everything for us. Everything. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to question. We don't have to wonder. All we have to do is stay hooked up to the One. And I will remind you that when all these things come down the pike, because I believe they will, stay with God, stay on God's side, and don't do one single thing out of fear, because fear is how you will be controlled. Don't you dare let anyone control you or your children. Children don't have a voice. You have to be their voice. And nothing is more important than a relationship with Jesus, and that includes your children. Nothing. Your family, your church, your relationship with God, that comes number one before anything else. There's nothing more important than that. Nothing. And there's nothing that you can't teach your kids, show your kids. Nothing. Don't be afraid. You hear this message, you look up, you rejoice. You know that Jesus is with you because He loves you so much. The reason I'm telling you these things, the reason we're talking about this, is because I know that that's what Jesus wants. He wants you to know these things so you can be happy and joyful, that your peace is full, that we can talk about these things. When we talk about them, we say, yeah, I saw that, I knew that, but I know who wins in the end. I know how this story ends. See, the story's already been written. And in the end, Jesus wins always. So right now, we're just walking it out in the protection of our Heavenly Father. In the same way that Jesus walked this earth, that's the way that we walk. Protected, healthy, strong, taken care of. We have a joyful expectation set before us. Don't let all this stuff freak you out. There's a lot of stuff, and you need to know about it. But the more you know about it, it's so that way you're not deceived by it. Amen? Amen. God loves you. He wants you strong. He wants your head up. He wants you courageous. He wants you bold. He wants you joyful, full of His peace. He sent His Son that you would be with Him for eternity. This is not our home. Guys, I know I'm at 52 minutes. I told you it was going to be long, and I honestly could keep going, but I won't, but we'll be back next week. And you guys know that if you have questions about anything that I'm talking about, even if it's not related to the Bible, if it's anything else, all these other things that I was talking about, please reach out to me. I love talking with anyone that wants to discuss things, talk about things, have a conversation. Please, I would love that. And share this message. There are people out there that need to hear this message. And it's not for my sake, okay? I'm not saying that for me. I'm saying that because I want this message to reach other people. And all you have to do is share it. If you don't feel comfortable saying it, I am. So all you have to do is share it. Because people need to be encouraged in times like these, okay? I would love to see you at 180 Church, Sterling, Illinois, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. You are welcome, and you have a place at 180 Church. Find a church, get hooked up. We were meant to be together. He told us, don't stop meeting as some do, but that we would gather together all the more as we see the day approaching. Okay? You guys, I love you so much. Thanks for hanging out extra long with me today. Listen again. Write down these scriptures. Stay in the Word. Lean into the Holy Spirit. Let Him love you. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. That's His job, and that's why He's there. And it brings Him joy to do that for you. Share this message with others that they might be encouraged, and I'll see you here next week at That Girl.